very good evening, and you're very welcome along to this week's edition of The Score with myself, Jeremy Doherty. We're taking a look ahead to the bank holiday weekend sporting action. The Olympics have been keeping sports fans enthralled all week, and you can bet there'll be more drama and excitement to come over the coming days. But closer to home, there are some big games scheduled in Gaelic games and in football too. There are provincial finals and All-Ireland deciders in football and hurling, and it's quarter-final weekend in the ladies' football. More on that to come. Two SSE Airtricity Premier Division sides are hoping to advance this evening to the third qualifying round of the UEFA Conference League. There was a 5:30 start in Estonia, where it's Lavadia Tallinn 1, Dundalk 1, so it's 3 apiece on aggregate in that one, into the closing stages in that game. Remember, away goals no longer counting in European football. There will be 8,000 Bows fans inside the Aviva Stadium tonight. The Dublin club hold a 1-0 first leg advantage ahead of their second leg, with Dudelange of Luxembourg. Kickoff at the Aviva is at 7:45. And, well, there are other teams in action in Europe tonight as well. Irish League sides Larne and Linfield both playing. Larne in action as we speak. At half time in Denmark, they were 1-0 up at AGF, so that's 3-1 to Larne on aggregate there. So we'll keep an eye on how that one goes. Gaelic games, the Taoiseach has hinted at bigger attendances for this year's All-Ireland semi-finals and finals. Currently, Croke Park's attendance is capped at 18,000 fans. But speaking today, Michael Martin said he would like to see that number increased for the latter stages of the hurling and football championships. By the way, the weekend action up ahead, Leinster Senior Football Championship Final, Dublin and Kildare, is on Sunday. Throw in there is at 4:00. And there's an Ulster Under 20 football final on Friday. Down against Monaghan, throws in at 7:00. That game is at the Athletic Grounds. And the Ulster Senior Football Championship final between Monaghan and Tyrone is on Saturday at 4:00. That one's in Croke Park, and that's where we're going to start or preview Tyrone's three-time All-Ireland winner and treble-winning All-Star Conor Gormley has been telling Tom Comack that Tyrone have to leave the win over Donegal behind them and have total focus on Saturday evening's Ulster final opponents, Monaghan.
Caught up maybe in the Donegal game too much. You know, that sort of way, they just can't be referring back to it all the time. They have to look forward and see, pick out new things they can improve on as well. You know, likes of the goal maybe they conceded against Donegal. At a crucial stage of the game, they were sort of seemed to be in control of it. And then that goal brought Donegal right back into the game again. So we things like that they'll be looking at and trying to improve on.
And obviously, given the style of game Monaghan play, that will be a worry, obviously, because Monaghan play a running game and are clocking up and do seem to be actually targeting goals.
I seem to be, you look at the last day there, they were phenomenal in that first half, you know, Jack McCarron, and then you like Darren McCarron, Darren Hughes coming tearing through the middle, playing a lovely 1-2 and finishing well. So definitely are again there. They're mixing the game up a wee bit too as well, I thought, against the last day as well against Armagh, you know, so they can play both ways. It'll be a long game and a short game as well, so Tyrone have to be defensively aware of what Monaghan's going to bring to them. You know, there's some excellent forwards there, and again, you look at McManus and a fouling in around that 45, and then you're begging outside the 45 for long free. So Tyrone's going to have to be very disciplined on their tackling. So it's going to be a game that's going to have to be tuned in for the full. It's probably nearly 80 minutes now, you know. So it's a long game, so they'll have to be fully tuned in to what's going to happen.
In light of I suppose the way Tiernan McCann played when he came on and Conor McKenna when they came on, do you expect any changes for Sunday?
It's hard to know, and then you've Cathal McShane there as well in the mix there and that too. Like, so I suppose it's hard to know. Again, when you look at the modern football now, the way it's going, sort of high intensity, high running, high miles to be covered, you're nearly finishing now with a stronger team than you started, and then boys showed coming off the bench, they made a massive impact, and that's what you really need now for your son. It's like it's a 20-man game or 22, 23-man game now, so boys have to be ready to come in and make an impact. And again, that can win you challenge games too, like somebody coming in and hitting 2 or 3 points like Tiernan did, and Conor making an impact, some great running from deep, and McShane, that danger man up front that could land you a goal out of nothing, you know. So it's massive now that the role the subs have to play. So hopefully, it's hard to know if we make any changes and upset the team. Might be one, maybe. It's hard to know. I think maybe I'd really try maybe McShane inside, maybe just to give someone to worry Monaghan about, you know, really. Maybe spring him maybe for starting or very early, you know, so he brings someone different, and the way he's playing the full forward is massive to their own chances this year.
And what's the word on Derek Canavan? He missed the last...
I think it was an ankle giving him bother. I think it was that Kerry game. He hurt us against Kerry, and the word's been quiet on him, you know. They've kept that very, very tight. There hasn't been much news filtered out from that, but I'd say he's had a long enough recovery period now. He'll probably be in the mix of at some stage, you'd hope. Dara was very like his father, very intelligent, very smart player. He can find spaces, you know, where people normally wouldn't find spaces, you know, and again can deliver ball. You know, he's a great man at picking the ball up, being that link and playing it inside. And again, as you showed maybe last year as well, he can be that danger inside where one long ball in, he could collect it, and I think it was against Mayo, one long ball in and turn the defender and scored. Like, so he's a very smart, intelligent player, and from a throne point of view or supporter's point of view, you'd hope that he is available for some part of it on Saturday. Mm.
And tell me, from a Tyrone perspective and a Tyrone supporter now, looking at the game, what about Monaghan worries you, or are you worried about them?
Of course, you have to worry about Monaghan and the experience that they have at their disposal. Again, some of them younger players are coming in and doing exceptionally well, Mulligan, and then you have Jack McCarron sort of seem to be firing on all cylinders again for them. So, and again, you talk about McManus up front, like, so two or three forwards there that have to be, from a throwing point of view, have to be watched and have to be man-marked and covered at all times. I suppose you were nearly writ off them, the Monaghan players, the older hands, the Accusers and McManuses and Fintan Kelly and these boys. You maybe would have said they have too many miles in the legs, but again, they just keep coming back for more and more, and it's a credit to them, and they've definitely been the leading lights nearly in the Monaghan's run this year to the final. So again, you have to look at Bonte, what Bonte brings to them as well. He brings that sort of fire in the belly, and Monaghan will definitely be up for it. And they'll show that great intensity. They have great intensity in the tackle, they have great intensity in their work rate, and they're running, and they're getting back and getting forward and up and down the pitch. So that's someone Throne have to be, maybe have to match and maybe surpass to try and win this game. If their Throne's work rate's high and working together and working as a team, they have a great chance of winning on Saturday.
And tell me, who's going to get the job of keeping tabs on McManus, Conor McManus?
Well, I suppose Throne maybe have a few options. Maybe you have Hampshire and Ronan McNamee, sort of could be a toss-up between them two. I'd probably give it to maybe Hampshire. Maybe I'd be thinking Porrick Hampshire would be the man to McManus, and you'd probably then McNamee and Jack McCarron. So again, matchups could be very, very important from a Throne point of view. Like, if them two men were stifled and making very little impact in the game, Throne are in a massive chance of winning, you know. So, but that's easier said than done. You know, them men are experienced as well. You know, they're racking up big tallies, and they have massive roles to play for Monaghan. So it'll be interesting to see how the matchups go from a Throne point of view.
And tell me, what about Croke Park? Is it an advantage to anybody?
It's hard to know. I just was thinking about that the other day. Just the last couple of times Throne have played Monaghan there, Throne have beat them, you know, in the Ireland semi-final and I think it's quarter-final. So I think Monaghan will be looking to turn that round, that we owe Throne one possibly in Croke Park. You know, they've been hugely disappointed at how them results went for them. So it'll be massive for them to beat Throne in Croke Park. And again, then the winners then play in the semi-final in Croke Park. So it'll be massive to get a run out for both teams. But from a Throne point of view, again, I think they love Throne, love playing in Croke Park. I loved all our players that stage, loved going to Croke Park, no matter when it was. You know, it was a great place to be playing, and that's where you want to play, and no better place to do it now. And it was in Croke Park, and it brings back memories from 05. I think it's 05, we played Armagh in a replay, a drawn game, and then a replay in Croke Park, and lost the final. It just brings back memories of that time, you know. And it's just unfortunate we just couldn't have a full house in Croke Park, just the way the restrictions and things like that going. You know, imagine a full house with Throne and Monaghan supporters, it'd be deadly.
Yeah, I know what the heart says. What does the head say? Does it match it?
I think it does. You just have to. I just give it to Throne the way they're going, and the chatters are looking forward to the boys are in good enough form, and they just can't wait to get to Croke Park.
Good to hear there from Conor Gormley. That Ulster Senior Football Championship final, Monaghan against Tyrone, throws in on Saturday at Croke Park at 4 o'clock. After the break, we'll look ahead to the ladies' action ahead of quarter-final weekend. And you're welcome back. Coming up later on, we'll be joined by Nigel Ferry of the Donegal League. The new season fast approaching, and it's a good time to speak to Nigel just to see how preparations are going for everyone involved there. And we'll also hear from Linda McGuinness. Linda is one of the Northwest's top basketball coaches, and she's also the chairperson of Letterkenny Blaze, who have four players selected for international duty with Ireland. We'll hear from Linda and from Nigel shortly. But we're going to stick with Gaelic games for now. Donegal's All-Ireland Senior Ladies Championship quarter-final with the holders Dublin. Well, that'll be played on Bank Holiday Monday at Park Sean McDiarmida in Carrick and Shannon. The game will throw in at 4 o'clock. Donegal progressed to the last eight by beating Kerry last weekend in Tuam. Well, Donegal's versatile attacker Karen Guthrie is under no great illusion about the challenge that four in a row All-Ireland champions Dublin will present.
The big one, the huge one for us. Any of those top four teams, I suppose, is a big one at this time of year, probably meeting them at the quarterfinals, but you have to play them at some stage, so maybe it's a blessing meeting them sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and of course, there is a feeling maybe that Dublin are getting stronger, are they?
They are. You know, they seamlessly just replace players. You know, I suppose there's still a lot of their kind of bigger names that maybe haven't featured as much this year so far, and you're always kind of waiting for them to kind of slot back in. But anybody that's come in to replace them has just been seamless, you know. One of the biggest things about Dublin is just the size of their panel and their competition for places.
And you've had your jousts with them in the last couple of years, and you've run them close.
Yeah, I suppose we were disappointed last year. It was just a winner takes all that in the qualifiers last year in championship. So we ran them close, but close isn't really good enough, and second place isn't good enough when it's a winner takes all scenario. So we were disappointed that day. I suppose in terms of the first half, we probably didn't do ourselves justice, and maybe had left ourselves a bit of a hill to climb. But second place doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah, you had the wind in the first half, and yet you went in 5 points down, and then got hit with that, what can only be described as a freak goal.
Yeah, just nightmare stuff, I suppose. But we've parked that long ago now, and suppose we're just moving on, and we get another chance at it, and we're delighted to get the chance to play them again. So.
Yeah, and you met them in a quarter final. Was it back in 2016 as well?
We would have done, yeah.
There were only 3 points in that as well, I think, yeah.
We ran close. It's always a good battle between ourselves and Dublin. You know, it's never it's always kind of good football and good, honest football. So they're a team we look forward to and we enjoy playing too. So, there's always been good ding-dong battles, whether it's league or championship. We've always been kind of touch tight with them, but just not enough to probably get over the line.
Yeah, I was just looking at the two lineups from last year's games earlier, and certainly Donegal squad. I think there's six or seven players probably that featured the last day against the Martin playing Dublin. Very much similar lines. So, are you surprised in a way that you're back where you are?
I suppose with Dublin anyway, they've a lot of the same kind of faces. I suppose we've had a number of changes too as well. I suppose with maybe Ciara Hegarty and Yvonne Bonner out and players to replace them. So I'd say both squads are similar in terms of the number of players, I suppose, that they're missing going into the game. But with the way that the group games kind of went, we're just delighted to be in a quarter final, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned the group games. Obviously, that horror story against Galway, I suppose, a crazy 2 minutes or less than 2 minutes at the start of the second half. Obviously, must be big lessons learned there.
I suppose we've been working hard to try and eradicate those mistakes. And 2 minutes over 60 minutes, you would think, isn't a massive amount, but it was hugely damaging to us in terms of the. Just trying to get back into the game. It was a really warm day, and and we can't make any excuses. We didn't bring the same level of intensity that, that Galway brought to the game, and we were really disappointed with ourselves. So there's no excuses on our end. Anyway.
But it was always going to come down to the Kerry game anyway, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And listen, you could win the Galway game and come out on a high and maybe get caught by Kerry. Kerry are a good, solid side, a lovely footballing side. You know, surprising enough that they're in Division Two and they're facing a relegation battle now, which is a hard enough one to take. But it probably would have come down to that game anyway. So it just depends on your seeding where you finish. Obviously, it would have been nice to finish top of the group. But you look at the teams that are left there now, and any one of them on any given day will give you a serious game. So there are no easy games when you get to your final eight, and it's just a case of meeting Dublin earlier. Sooner rather than later.
It's a challenge, and I was speaking to Maxie Curran earlier in the week, and he was saying that you're looking forward to it and relish it, because I suppose the reality is that they're going to be raging hot favourites. How do you prepare for a game like that?
Oh yeah, well, Max has no difficulty preparing anyway. He'll probably spend morning and night from now until then preparing for it, and it takes a lot of the pressure off us as players. He does all the work behind the scenes. So, listen, you know, as he probably would have said to you, we had 4 months to prepare for Dublin last year, and now you have something, you know, you've only a week or 8 days. So it's a very different scenario, and we would never have looked past any of the other teams we would have played in the past. You know, you might have one eye on a quarter final, but it's very hard to overlook quality teams like Galway and Kerry. So we haven't really had the opportunity to look too much at Dublin before now. We obviously didn't meet them in the league this year either, with the way the league groupings went, so we haven't had a chance to play them competitively this year. So it's a very different run-in to what it would have been last year, but I think we're relishing it. Dublin are a serious footballing team, and we like to play football as well, so we're well enough matched in that sense. It's just a case of getting a nice clean week now, and keeping everybody happy and bringing the best possible version of ourselves to the game, and that's all you can ever hope for on any given day. When we get the best version of ourselves on the field, I think we can be competitive with any team in the country.
Karen Guthrie there in conversation with Tom Comack. Donegal's game against Dublin on Monday throws in at 4 o'clock, and Carrick and Shannon, Mayo and Galway also meet in a quarter final on Monday. And on Sunday, the two quarter finals are Armagh against Meath and Clonus, and Cork against Waterford. Well, Dundalk scored a late winner in Estonia to win their Europa qualifying game tonight. So they have beaten Levadia by 2-1 on the night. That's 4-3 on aggregate, so they progress to the next round. Fantastic result for Dundalk. Will Patching, who returned to the club after a loan spell at Derry City, the match winner in that game. Hibs are through as well, by the way. Aberdeen also through, even though they lost their game tonight by 2-0 at Hacken. They win by 5-3 on aggregate. And latest score in Denmark, AGF 0, Larn 1. So Larn continuing to lead by 3-1. On aggregate, Tyrone and Derry will be playing out their respective All-Ireland Hurling Finals this weekend at Croke Park. Tyrone and Mayo will feature in the Nicky Rackard Cup Decider on Saturday, with the game being part of a triple header at GAA headquarters. That game will start at 1:30 and will be followed at 4 o'clock by the Ulster Senior Football Championship Final between Monaghan and Tyrone. The third game of the day will be Fermanagh and Cavan battling for Hurling's Laurie Maher Cup from 6:30. The Derry Hurlers will step onto the turf at Croker for their Christy Ring Cup final against Offaly on Sunday afternoon. That game starts at 1 o'clock and is a double header with the Dublin Meath Leinster Senior Football Final, which throws in at 4 o'clock. Former Antrim defender and All-Ireland club winner with his home club Lochiel Shamrock, and the now Derry manager Dominic McKinley, well, he's been telling Tom Comack that Derry's season really kicked off with a win over Wicklow in the second round of the championship.
Yeah, Wicklow was a big problem. You know, I think Derry hadn't beat them for 11 years, you know, and they had beat them maybe 4 or 5 times in the past 2 or 3 years. So that was like a monkey on their back and a mental barrier as well, you know. But we approached that well, and we beat them well, played very well, you know, in the phases we play. And even in, against, you know, the other teams, you know, we play well in phases, you know, Tom. So this weekend we know We can't afford to play in phase. We need that 70 minutes. We need to work hard at times when it's not going for us, you know. And we seem to drop ourselves once we get into a lead or that. We drop off a wee bit, you know, and that won't count this weekend. We've got to, you know, the 70 minutes. We've got to nail it. 70 dead on.
We all, just before we look ahead to Sunday's game and the final, we always know there's always kind of maybe commitment difficulties and dual players and dual commitments. And, you know, I'm not sure if many Derry hurling managers had everybody they want. Have you got everybody you want?
Yeah, we got everybody we want. You had in your dual players, you know, they're with the footballer, they're going well, you know, so you're no point even starting that argument, you know. But what you want, Tom, is you want every other player there it could hurt for Derry, you know. And this moment in time, I'd say we have got most of them, you know, maybe three or four. And if it's not theirs, maybe the lack of commitment or just doesn't suit them at this moment in time. And that's probably why we're in the situation where we're in at the minute, you know. And as I said, that them first two matches, that's where the ups and downs was, you know. We hadn't a full team, we didn't know whether who we had and so on. But after a couple or 3 weeks, you know, they got onto us and we got onto them, and now we got committed players. I couldn't ask for any more from them. The split season helps as well, Tom. You know, there's no doubt. The split season, you know, we know club matches going on. You know, they're just started now. That split season has helped us big time.
Yeah. And looking ahead to the final, there's no question about it. You're facing a big test, a big task. Offaly, one could say how the mighty have fallen to be playing in the Christie Ring. But, you know, as they showed in the league, you know, they won their promotion. They were in 2A. You know, clean pair of heels to everybody. 5 straight wins.
Yeah. There, no doubt, you know, it's a massive task, Tom, and something to me, as I said to the players, you got to embrace it, you know. You can't run away from it, you know. We're in a situation playing them, and we're very proud people, you know. The Derry boys are very proud people, and their backgrounds are very, very proud of what they have achieved at the clubs and so on. So we're hoping that helps us. The incentive is there. You can't read too much into it. Sport's a wonderful thing at times, you know. Foregone conclusions can get beat at times. So I'm not under any illusion the task ahead of us, Tom. But I also believe, and even as a person when I was playing, I also believe at certain days a wee bit of run of play and a wee bit of complacency, who knows what can happen. And that's all we can ask for. We can't ask for maybe 7 out of 10 days, you know, Offaly would probably win this game. There's no doubt in that. But there's them all are free. Looking forward to it. It's a big day out, Tom. Playing at Croke Park is it's our national stadium, and all players dream of playing on it. And it doesn't matter how young or old you are, you love going there and performing, and it's a place to be. And it's about individuals taking responsibility on a particular day and going out and doing their best, and we'll have to see where that takes us, you know.
Have you brought that anthem fear to Derry, or lack of fear to Derry?
I don't know. Well, you're hoping, that you can't be afraid to go out and play another player. You know, as I say, everybody's equal until you cross the white line, and then it's the person that does the right things at the right time, the person that commits to their job on the field. And that, you know, this will be asking every individual player to match up and win an individual battle, and then see if we can help the team in any other way. And if we can do that, you know, as I say, you never know. I always believe you have a chance. I always believe, you know, there are many times we get many beatings through the years and so on, but it did come. And just hoping these players is committed to us very, very heavily. And they deserve wee breaks, and hopefully get a wee bit of luck, and you never know where we are, Tom.
And tell me, have you got everybody?
Yeah, we got everybody. We had Conor McAllister. He jarred his knee last week, and unfortunately got it for him. His gutting would be an understatement, you know, because he's a great fella. He's a cornerback. One of the boys we had earmarked to mark one of their players as well. So he's out. He's probably have to go through that cruciate injury, you know, and that hasn't helped their preparations. We lost Dara Carton at the start of the year with cruciate as well. So, but overall, you know, we are happy. You know, we have near enough a full hand to pick from. Conor Kelly's back after last week, so now we'll be all right. We, you know, we have that full hand. It's just Conor, you know, and he's one of the boys, you know, we'd look forward to this, and he had embraced the challenge. So we're all got it for him, but hopefully Conor will get another day.
That's Dominic McKinley there speaking to Tom Comack. So it's a big day on Sunday for Derry. The Hurlers in action against Offaly. That game starts at 1 o'clock, and it's going to be a big day at Croke Park because it's part of a doubleheader. Dublin and Meath in the Leinster Senior Football Final throws in at 4 o'clock. There's breaking news just there now in terms of soccer. Republic of Ireland international striker Troy Parrott is going to join MK Dons on loan for the coming season. Actually, Spurs were in action against MK Dons in a pre-season friendly last night, so obviously the deal was done then. He was out on loan last season at Millwall and Ipswich Town as well, so he's going to be playing with MK Dons this season. The new Donegal League season will kick off on Sunday, August the 15th. Clubs will see action in a new look Brian McCormack Sports Cup, first of all with ties played on an area league basis. The following weekend, which is Saturday, August 21st, the first matches will be played in the Downtown Cup, and again those games will be played in an area league format. And with the countdown to the new season firmly underway, I'm joined by the League Secretary, Nigel Ferry. Nigel, good evening. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, same to you, Dermot. Good to speak to you.
Well, Nigel, it seems an awful long time now since we've had any competitive action in the Donegal League, but thankfully, we don't have too long to wait now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's been a year like no other, Dermot, you know. I mean, little did we think last year, well, we were very lucky that we did actually manage to get our season finished around about the 15th of September. But I mean, from that weekend on, it was just a blackout from then on, you know. So it's a long time for a lot of players, a lot of people, a lot of clubs out of action, you know. And thankfully, we're up and running again, and nearly all systems go in a couple of weeks' time.
And during that time, Nigel, when there was no football, I'm thinking back at the beginning of the year, I'm sure, you know, the committee and the clubs were all wondering, you know, should you get back up and running? There was a lot of uncertainty as to what was going to happen. So I'm sure it was a difficult time for everybody.
It was, yeah. To be fair, now we kind of kept in contact with the clubs regularly. We had Zoom meetings, and we had three or four options there for different eventualities. You know, we thought, little did we know, we thought in September it might be just for a couple of weeks and a month, and we had planned then if we get back before the end of December, we might have a shortened season or a half a season or something. And then if failing that to happen, you know, if we get back maybe in the beginning of January or something, or towards the end of January, we could have played some kind of a round of a cup competition. But we kind of made the decision early when we seen how things were going, you know, through the clubs. We kind of made the decision early that it wasn't looking like, especially after Christmas, that it wasn't looking like there was anything going to happen anytime soon. So we kind of decided in February, through the clubs again, we took a vote on it. And the clubs kind of themselves decided that we would just hit the pause button and, you know, concentrate our efforts on getting things up and running again whenever it was safe to do so. I think it was in the end of February we kind of made that decision, because there was, at that stage, it was pushed back till possibly the end of March, possibly end of May, April, sorry. So we kind of decided early and give clubs a break. We said we thought it was important that they could just go and focus and then try and get things up and running for hopefully the summer, what we're doing now.
Okay. Well, clubs have been able to play pre-season friendlies over the last few weeks, Nigel. You've also seen action return at underage level right across the northwest. The Donegal Youth League is up and running again. But, you know, are clubs now going to be following, you know, strict guidelines, Nigel? I mean, you know, I know the dressing rooms and things like that, they're all things that we would have taken for granted from season after season, but there are new rules in place now to follow the COVID-19 guidelines.
There are, you know, it's definitely going to be a different season that from what people are used to in the past. It's not, as you said, correctly said there, there's protocols in place there. Now, these protocols are primarily coming from the FAI, and we're just basically following them. It's Sport Ireland and the government that are deciding and passing this on down to the FAI. Dressing rooms are gone. They're for the foreseeable future. Now, that may change when the next updated protocol comes out, but at the minute, there's no changing rooms at all allowed, even for training. You're not allowed to use changing facilities, showers, all that, even meetings, clubs, team meetings and everything. You're allowed a maximum of 10 minutes on the pitch, you know, for any kind of team talks or team meetings. So it's completely different. As you know, even transport to and from matches is going to be different. The days of the buses are probably gone for a while as well. It'll be individual cars, nothing that people trying to keep the pods as small as possible, and that if we do follow this protocol, we're hoping that it should, you know, make for some form of football to be played once we get up and running.
Yeah. Well, when you outlined a few weeks ago, Nigel, the committee of the Donegal League outlined the different changes in terms of the format and the running of the cup competitions, etc. You mentioned in that as well the dates for return to action, which is good to see. And the Donegal League, there's a few changes this year in terms of clubs as well. Nigel, isn't that right? No Ennis Celtic, I don't think, but Fannagh United will be joining the Donegal League, which is a big plus for the league, I'm sure.
Yeah, Fannagh are back. They were hoping to get back in junior football last year, but it didn't happen with one thing or another. So they're back, rearing to go as well. And they have a cracker of a match, the first in the Letterkenny area. They're up against Kerry Keel. So even that fact, them starting off, I mean, with this Brian McCormick Cup on the 15th of August, they've got some fantastic local derbies down there. Kerry Keel the first week, then I think they're Milford at home, then they're Rathmullen, then the following week, then the White Strand. So these are big games for all the clubs down there as well, you know. Good pre-season matches for themselves as well to get up and running. So I'm sure there'll be good interest down in the Fannagh Peninsula for all those local derbies involved in Fannagh.
They certainly will. And listen, I mean, Fannagh, we don't have to say all that much about them. They have such a proud tradition in football in Donegal, but they now join the likes of Swilly Rovers in the Donegal League. And, you know, big names involved, Nigel. Facilities improving all the time, and I'm sure we can look forward to another competitive season.
Yeah, and even it's good to see Letterkenny Rovers back on board with us in the Sunday League as well, Dermot as well, because at this stage now, Letterkenny and Fannagh and Swilly and all them, they were all founder members of the Donegal League back in the day. So we're delighted to have them all back and board in some shape or form, especially now in our 50th anniversary year, you know. So some big names, some big clubs and founder members of our league back with us as well.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, the 50th anniversary, Nigel. I mean, that's very special, and it's great that football is back this year, because it's very important to mark this special occasion.
Yeah, well, we do have plans. We kind of spoke to delegates there the last fortnight ago when we were chatting to them. We do have plans. We'll do something towards the latter part of the year. And again, we're just kind of pushing it back as far as we can in the hope that we'll be allowed some form of an indoor event. Don't know if we will or not. But there's plans there, and we're looking at in and around the date in November when the first meeting of the Donegal League was held 50 years ago, I think around the 14th or 15th of November. So that's kind of a target date for us, that if we can focus and try and generate something around that date, it'd be nice to, you know, tie in 50 years later to the date of some kind of, we would plans to launch a book, you know, 50-year book on, and it's going to be slightly different. Gary Foy's done, already, our PRO, has done a lot of work on this, and it's going to be a slightly different format from previous books that we've done as well. He's kind of taking a different slant on it, so we're in the process of gathering stuff for that, and Gary's had a huge amount of work done on that already to date.
Yeah, okay, well, a number of fixtures on the opening weekend, Nigel, and then it gets busier the following weekend when the Saturday football starts again. One of the items that was mentioned at the AGM of the league a couple of months back was the issue with the availability of referees, and that's an ongoing concern, isn't it, in terms of football. How are things since, Nigel? Has there been any improvement on that front?
To be honest, we're kind of hoping to meet with the referees, Jeremy. We're hoping that it's not an issue. We're hoping it's not a problem. I know there's an overlap, and then you've got the League of Ireland underage structure and them games taking place in Saturdays as well. So possibly the Saturday is going to be the biggest concern, Dermot, you know, getting games played on a Saturday. But we're not too bad there. Not, when I say we're not too bad, we don't have as many fixtures on a Saturday as we would have on a Sunday, if you know what I mean. Starting off there in the 21st of August, you'd be looking at round about, you know, 10 fixtures or something, you know, to get us going, and hopefully we're hoping that'll tie in with the schoolboys as well, and it'll not be an issue. But it's something we'll have to address. It's something we'll have to sit down with the referees and try and plan for. And I mean, Con said at the meeting as well, they're looking at our AGM, they are looking for more referees, and we did say that even to our clubs as well. We asked them, you know, if they could help in any way to try and get as many people involved, because at the end of the day, if you don't have referees, you're not going to football, you know, school boys, junior football, intermediate football or nothing, but call on them, you know. But we're hoping it'll not be an issue now, hopefully.
Yeah, okay. Nigel, it all starts then in a couple of weeks' time. I'm sure preparations will ramp up over the coming weeks, and we wish you the best luck ahead of the new campaign.
Yeah, thanks a million, Dermot.
Okay, Nigel Ferry, the secretary of the Donegal League, which kicks off on Sunday, August the 15th, with the Brian McCormick Sports Cup competition, and then, as we mentioned, the following weekend, Saturday League teams will be playing in the Downtown Cup. Plenty to look forward to there. And after so much time without any action in the Donegal League, I'm sure players, coaches and clubs and everybody involved will be excited to be getting back. We're going to go for another quick commercial break. And you're welcome back. We heard from Nigel Ferry of the Donegal League before the break. We'll stay with soccer for a minute or two, because in the Europa Conference League, Hibs, Aberdeen and Dundalk are all through to the next stage of the competition. Dundalk winning in Estonia at Levadia by 2-1 on the night. And that's an aggregate win of 4-3 for Dundalk. Will Patching scored an injury time winner there for the League of Ireland side, who will now progress to the next stage of the competition. And that all means that their game against Sligo Rovers, scheduled for Monday, will now be postponed. Harps are due to play Bowes on Monday, but that game will also be called off if Bowes progress to the next stage of the competition. Their game against Ludogorets at the Aviva Stadium has just got underway. Well, the sport of basketball was one of the first to stop all playing activities early last year due to COVID-19. And because it's an indoor sport, well, it hasn't really recovered, with little or no action in 2021 either, certainly at a local level. But four teenagers from Letterkenny Blaze Basketball Club were determined not to let the days of lockdown stand in their way of achieving their dream to wear the green jersey. Maria Keeley and Shannon Cunningham were named on the under-18 Ireland women's basketball team. Killian Gribben was named on the under-18 Ireland men's basketball team, and his sister Emma was named on the under-16 Ireland women's team. Maria and Shannon travelled to the Czech Republic last Sunday with the Ireland under-18 women's team, and they've been playing in the FIBA European Challengers this week. And brother and sister Emma and Killian Gribben, well, they'll travel with their respective Irish teams in the weeks ahead. Killian actually will travel to Slovakia this coming Sunday, and then next week Emma will go with the Ireland under-16 women's team to play in the FIBA European Challengers, which are also taking place in Slovakia. Well, I caught up with the Blaze Club chairperson, Linda McGuinness, who agreed that having four players selected on international teams is a major achievement for everyone involved in the club.
Oh, totally, Dermot. Yeah, look, it is a fantastic achievement for the club, but also a fantastic achievement too for the individual players involved and for all their families. Definitely unprecedented within the club, and I would say even throughout the country nationally. I know that there's one club with two players on the under-18, along with Marie and Shannon. But yeah, look, it's a great time, great excitement within the club, especially after coming through, you know, a couple of hard months there with COVID and lockdown, and that, just to have this beacon of great light within the club. So it's given us great excitement within Blaze and within the Northwest itself. So really it is down to the hard work and the high work ethic of the four players involved, and all through lockout when other players weren't able to get practicing. The players involved, the four players, would have been, you know, they'd have been out practicing on their driveways or in the hallways at home, anything just to keep them going and keeping them in the up for grabs, really, to get up on an international squad. Yeah. So, like, the four players, they've really worked so hard themselves throughout lockdown to be able to feature, even to have their name up, on an international squad. So,
because people might not realise, but basketball has been one of those sports that's probably been worst hit by lockdown, Linda, because it's an indoor sport. So really and truly, activities in basketball have almost been at a standstill.
Yeah, that's right. Do you remember, like, Basketball Ireland would have been one of the first sports. It was actually the first sport and organisation to actually pull all sports away back in March 2020. They were the first club to come out and instruct all grassroots clubs to halt all activity. And at times, like, look, it's challenging. It's still challenging. It's been a hard year and a half for basketball clubs. But look, we have to respect all public health guidelines and work with the restrictions that we've had. We are allowed now to go back out to do outdoor sports, which is really, really hard, because we are an indoor sport, like other indoor sports as well, like gymnastics and boxing and other sports, but especially being a team sport, it is really, really challenging. We were lucky to get out and to be able to avail of the facilities here in the local area, or partnering up with the local schools. So we did get out for a 6-week outdoor program, dear, because we really, like, if we didn't get out, we were going to lose all the kids that play sports. And we are very conscious within Letterkenny Blaze that there are lots of kids out there, even within our own club, that don't play any outdoor sports, and their game and their sport of choice is basketball. So we got together and we did get, you know, 6 weeks outdoor, and then we finished off then a couple of weeks then, like, just doing 3v3s. Very much with the focus and very conscious that we are an indoor sport. We had to transition to go to an outdoor environment with the hope to be able to transition back indoors again when we do get the green light. And but we're all really looking forward and hoping that we'll get back in again in the autumn, you know, because there are a lot of kids. The fear is like losing volunteers and losing younger players. So look, with the news with the international players, or four Blaze players featuring on the international squads, it does give that beacon of hope and, you know, just to hang in there, players, and like, we will get back on court at some stage. Yeah. So it's to champion and to celebrate what's actually happened within the club with the four players being named on the international panels, but also very eager and trying to work hard, you know, underneath all of that to try and get the whole club back into action really, really soon.
Yeah, because the parents of children who have been playing basketball, Linda, over the last few years will have seen themselves how popular the sport has become and how much work is going on at underage level, not just at Letterkenny Blaze, but right across the county and the Northwest.
Oh, definitely. And like, we're really, really lucky here in Letterkenny with the parents and the memberships we have and how supportive they are. And any time we've asked any parent, you know, to get their shoulder behind the wheel, they all have done that. And Mulroy Hoops started up there a few years back, and, you know, which is great. We want to see more and more clubs in the Northwest. And we're just really, really mindful at the moment that we have young kids. Like, to be honest, Dermot, like, we could have two clubs here in Letterkenny, like, you know, with the amount of interest that's out there, especially now with kids watching NBA and NBA, you know, on all the PlayStation games. There is a huge interest out there for the game, and you know, especially to like entry within the post-primary schools, and love to see more kids play and getting the opportunity. We'd love to cater for every child that wants to play and bounce a basketball. Unfortunately, we have to limit the numbers we have in each group, which, you know, on one hat I'm working in health promotion and trying to encourage somebody doing physical activity, and then another hat then you're just saying, oh, because we just don't have the space, or we don't have enough coaches. So look, there's all those challenges in every sport, and you know, very conscious all sports will have those challenges. So but look, we're really, when we are given the green light to do whatever we can do, I know in Letterkenny Blaze that the members and the parents and the coaches that are there and the hard working committee behind the scenes, we'll all get together, and whatever we can do, as sure as God, we will be putting all our effort into trying to facilitate and cater for basketball in Letterkenny here.
Well, that's good to hear. While all this has been going on, while there has been no basketball and we have been in lockdown, you know, in terms of indoor sports, Maria and Shannon and Killian and Emma, they have been attending trials, I suppose, at international level, Linda. They've been going to training. Big effort put in before they got finally selected for their respective squads.
Huge effort, Dermot. And, you know, it's not to undermine that effort at all. I think even just stand back and just listening to the parents and the families that are going up, like, they're up and down to Dublin. Nothing is coming like locally here to us. These are all trips to either Dublin or Galway or Limerick, and it involves huge family support, and especially there for the Gribbons. They have Killian and Emma, like two out of the one family, which is a fantastic achievement to have that support. Like, players don't do this on their own. Like, there, you know, there's definitely sacrifices behind the scenes on a family context to get them there. Plus two, Dermot, they would have been doing lots of online work, lots of strength and conditioning work, even skills training, skills challenges themselves since like last year. I do think the under 18 girls, Marie and Shannon, would have regrouped with their squad early September. But then again, Donegal went into an early lockdown as well, so that prevented the girls going up and meeting up with the squad. And then look at it was a national lockdown then from October. But yet everything was being done online. And, you know, it was tough going on these players because their school was being done online. And, you know, then you want to play sport. You want to be face-to-face with your coach. You want to be face-to-face with your teammates. But in fairness, they stuck at it and it shows great resistance and just great tenacity just to be able to stick in there and to see it through and to be able to know that there is a bigger picture, you know, just get through all these little road bumps and, you know, there is an international place up for grabs. So it shows great character in all the four players just to stick in there. While the rest of us were, you know, trying to maybe shoot a little hoop outside. And look, we were conscious too that not every child would have a hoop. So these players, like, they were working hard throughout their own backyards or even grabbing a neighbour's backyard or relative's backyard, anything at all to get the space. So hands down to the four players involved to make it through here.
Yeah, and like, I mean, they have been great role models, you know, for all the younger players within the club as well, Linda. And they would themselves have given up their own time to do a wee bit of coaching when time allowed.
Yeah, so one of the models of Blaise, and it's been going since I've been involved in the club, Dermot, is that we would ask, and so we know this, we don't even have to ask these players, our older players or more senior players, to come in and to junior coach with the adult coaches within the club. And they would do that like on a weekly basis. They would do it also like for any camps, the summer camps or any training session, we'd always have junior coaches. Coaching in the club myself, I'd know that we wouldn't have been able to facilitate all the sessions that we had, especially with the younger age group, without the help of the junior coaches. So three of the out of the four players this year were able to come in and even help us out with the 6-week outdoor programme. Killian, unfortunately, wasn't able to help because he was just bogged down with his own studies and leaving cert, obviously, and we totally understand that. But it's fantastic. We need role models. We need local role models. And I think even too, with all the talk with 2020 and female participation and female dropout, to think that we have three out of our four international players are female players, which is also great for the young female players within the club, that you can play sport. And with all the negativity around it, that, you know, that if they stick in there and just the whole fun aspect and the whole social aspect too, that that there is the bigger picture out there and that they can play, whether it even be or with a regional team or an international team, that if this is something that you want to do, it is achievable.
That's Linda McGuinness there of Letterkenny Blaise, and a big well done to Maria Keeley, Shannon Cunningham, Killian and Emma Gribben on their selection to the relevant their respective Ireland teams. Some Olympics headlines before we leave you tonight. Sunita Pusper has withdrawn from tomorrow's B final of the women's single sculls. The Irish rower placed a disappointing fifth in her semi-final earlier on this morning. She's blamed her performance and subsequent withdrawal on feeling unwell. Shane Ryan is the latest Irish swimmer to set a new national record in Tokyo. He was fourth in his heat in the men's 100 metre butterfly in a time of 52.52 seconds. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough to progress to the semi-finals. And Annalise Murphy has given herself a fighting chance of making the medal race of the laser radial sailing. The Rio silver medalist is up to 14th following a first and second place finish in this morning's races. She needs to crack the top 10 with her remaining two races. A reminder, in the SSE Airtricity League of Ireland Premier Division, a couple of games on tomorrow night, Drogheda against Waterford, Shamrock Rovers host St Pat's, and then on Saturday, Longford Town host Derry City. And locally in Gaelic games, there's another busy programme of fixtures in terms of club matches. In Division 1 of the Brian McCormack Sports, on Sunday, Bundoran hosts St Michael's at 2 o'clock. And also in that division, Glenswilly play Ardragh. That game also throws in at 2 o'clock. Among the other games of note this weekend, in Division 2 of the Marley Travel Division, on Sunday, Termon play St Noel's at 2 o'clock. And there are games in Division 3 as well, beginning on Friday night. There are two matches. Neve Breed play Red Hughes and Moville play Neve Columkill. And there are other matches as well in Division 4 and Division 5. Well, that's about it for this evening. Thanks to all tonight's guests and to Kevin Fury and to Tom Comack for their help on the show this evening. Thanks to you for listening. From myself, Dermot Doherty, good evening.